yet. Hold on. And that is, you know, Sasha is over there at her site saying, oh, Birdman's got this, Birdman's got this, but she's predicting Boyhood at Gold Derby. And I'm confronting her saying, you need to up... She updated her prediction the other day, so I think she just made a mistake.
No, she told me this. She said, I'm going to stick with Boyhood and go down to the sea in ships. It's a...
Well, then why does she say at her site today, quote-unquote, there's no way that Boyhood is winning this thing? Hold on. I was just looking at it, saying, what the hell is this?
She told me to actually go to that, and I didn't actually go to it yet. So that's...
Oh.
But she's just being realistic. But she personally, I think everybody that does these, you know, quasi-predictions, this is what I believe is the best. I mean, I try and stick to only what I think is the best. But, you know, she just doesn't want to vote for Birdman because she sees it as... The way she described it, she thinks it's like, and Mark Harris also expressed this too, that it's a, it's self-reflecting, it's narcissistic, it's about the industry's view of itself, the struggling artists, you know, trying to get their soul out there on the stage or on film, and you know, something like that. And she doesn't like it. She thinks that Boyhood, and I respect her opinion, is a higher manifestation, it's a higher form of art, and that's fine. She thinks that.
Well, I see what you're saying. There's no way. She says here in her piece, yeah.
That she's protesting, right? More or less?
Right.
Yeah. I heard from a friend, by the way, one of our colleagues, who was asked not to be attributed.
Mm-hmm.
But hang on for a second. I'm sorry to be delaying. Here we go. His view is, his, my perception is that Birdman only really turned the corner in the post-Oscar nomination phase. Thinking back to December or early January even, things looked to me much more open, and the strong word of mouth and simple staying power, whatever that means, the staying power of Boyhood, I guess he means critic awards or whatnot, is what made it seem like the likelier winner. Birdman, at that point, still, to me, felt polarizing. I can't explain the sudden move toward it, except that it has something to do with the recent artist-slash-Argo move toward stories about Hollywood. I keep thinking what Mark Harris said, which is that Boyhood is the kind of art the characters in Birdman wish they could create. So, we're basically... This is... Yeah, he still also believes that some sort of split, which I between Best Picture and Director and Screenplay, which I was thinking maybe that'll happen, you know, maybe just to be fair about it, Birdman, Best Picture, but give the Best Director to Linklater for all those, you know, 12 years of struggling and filming, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just know that an awful lot of people... It seems to me, over the months, certainly, or, you know, all through the main part of Oscar season, kept saying Boyhood, 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 and I'm including, and please correct me if they have changed their minds recently. The list I had here was Hit Fix's Greg Elwood, Peter Howell from the Toronto Star, and this is fairly recent, by the way. Dave Karger, Fandango, Mark Olson from the LA Times, David Poland. Movie City News, Film Experiences, Nathaniel Rogers, our friend Sasha, of course, IndieWire's Ann Thompson, and the LA Times' Glenn Whipp. Do you know of any other staunch Boyhood folks that we could mention?
Well, they're all at Gold Derby. I don't have the list in front of me there. But so now, what are you saying? You're saying Boyhood is ahead by that count?
No, I'm saying that they believed... As very recently, these people I just named believe that it was... These are not talking... They're not talking about their own personal passions. They believed, given their sense of the industry and where things were going, that this was going to be a the winner, the one that's going to take
it. Yeah, well, we all thought that early on. I mean, well, you know, I was thinking that it would... That it might be Unbroken or something if you want to go all the way back to September, but yeah. We started logging predictions at... Gold Derby in mid-August,
right.
And Boyhood led all the way up until just recently when it's been splitting, you know, back and forth. Boyhood and Birdman in the last week or so. Today, literally, it's a tie at 13, but to 13. And
13
quite frankly, I don't know how to read that tie because we have our friend Sasha who says
right.
She's predicting Boyhood, but
right. Right.
She's conceding that it'll probably be Bergman.
Yeah.
But that's the problem that we face as prognosticators, Jeff, and that is these tea leaves are totally contradictory. You could say that, that all right, Bergman's won all the Guild Awards, more or less, and Boyhood's won virtually nothing except, what, the Ace Eddie, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's the industry speaking to us. We need to pay attention to that. But yet, Boyhood won the BAFTA, and that has predicted Best Picture at the Oscars the past 6 years in a row. It won Critics' Choice. That's been a pretty strong indicator. You know, it's the movie with a heart. And the one thing Oscar voters have been doing lately is they've been voting with their hearts with movies like The Artist and King's Speech.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Birdman has the most Oscar nominations in a tie with Budapest. That's normally the indicator. And, of course, it's won DGA, Screen Actors Guild, PGA, and a bunch of the crafts as well.
Yeah.
But Birdman doesn't have the editing award, which you have to go back to, you know, Ordinary People in 1981 to find a Best Picture that won without an editing award.
Because,
I mean, you could go back and forth, whatever stat you want to quote.
I don't think you can use the editing thing. Most people feel... Look, where's the editing in that thing? Well, it's there, of course, but it's invisible. But they really don't see it. I mean, I think it was just discounted because it just really, the whole point of it is that it doesn't seem to have any editing. And it's, you know, it's just a sleight of hand, which is fine. But they don't, so I don't think it makes any difference at all about it not being nominated in that category.
Right. I think you're probably right. I have switched to Birdman lately because I think it's foolish to bet against the guilds when there's this much of a consensus among the guilds, especially PGA. My God, they use the same ballot as the Oscars, for God's sake. You know, so it's just, I think, stubbornness among people who are sticking with Boyhood because they feel an emotional attachment to it. Now, that said, Oscar voters may be stubborn as well because it's the movie you do feel personal about.
I feel very personal about Birdman. I feel like I recognize the people. I recognize the neurotic personalities and, you know, anxious, neurotic, struggling, not sure, trying, failing, trying again. I recognize all that. That's part of the creative process. It's never a walk in the park.
You know? No, but the movie's not sentimental, which they normally are, the Best Picture winners. And I concede all the things you're saying, but you cannot show me any Oscar winner ever that's this kooky with flying bodies and disembodied voices and magic and all these, you know, all right, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King had magic in it, but I'm saying that, you know, in general, this kind of reality-based, kooky, avant-garde piece has never won. That said, every year we get a new breakthrough with movies like The Hurt Locker and No Country for Old Men winning that have no precedent.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I think it has a lot going for it. It's a movie about the industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely well-crafted. It's imaginative and bold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in my Birdman prediction.
You don't?
But I think if you're just running the numbers here, you gotta do it because it's won everything.
Yeah. I mean, and even the costume designers, even the makeup, you know, even the sound. I mean, except for the crazy BAFTAs, which I don't understand what that meant. That was a real strange thing to happen so late in the game. I was going, what is happening here?
But look at the Crazy Globes, too. When I was talking with the actual voters, maybe five or six of them around Christmas time in New York, they kept saying, oh, Birdman's my favorite movie of the year. It's so great. Mm-hmm. Well, what did they do? They gave Best Comedy Musical Picture to Budapest and gave Birdman the Screenplay Award.
Yeah.
They also gave Keaton the award, too, of course. Mm-hmm. So the way they often do things is they divvy up the awards and make sure everybody gets a little something as a going home present. But so maybe that's why they did it that way. But still, Sasha loves to quote this stat that you have to go back to Annie Hall to find a movie that lost Best Comedy Musical Picture at the Globes but still won Best Picture at the Oscars.
I'm only bringing this up, Tom, because whatever happens, happens, as I have said many times. If for some reason all the indications are wrong and say Boyhood wins Best Picture, or if, you know, Linklater just wins director along with Birdman winning Best Picture. They're both excellent, high achievements, and I have no, you know, bone against Boyhood at all. I just happen to really love Birdman. But the reason I brought this up is because you just said something interesting, which is that a lot of the prognosticators, the Oscarologists, have stuck with Boyhood despite the signs growing, particularly after PGA, DGA, and Screen and SAG Ensemble. They've stuck with it anyway because they're emotionally attached to the film. They believe it in their hearts to be a better film, that to be a higher form of art, if you will. And the whole thing with people who kind of, you know, are Gold Derbyites or Grues of Gold people is that they're pulling back from their personal advocacy thing, which I don't. I mean, I'm completely an advocacy guy. I mean, sometimes I'll just predict for the hell of it, but mainly it's a... But they're supposed to be pulling back and withdrawing from that, you know...
Right, absolutely.
And they don't. They didn't pull back. That's what I'm saying. I think we're all more alike than we care to admit, you know? It seems
yes.
to me that people want what they want because they want it. And, you know, if they don't like something or they feel a distance from a certain film for whatever reason, they won't predict it. You know, I just think more people are like me than they'll admit to. That's kind of why I'm...
No, I think you may be right. We just got the prediction in this morning from Scott Mance from Access Hollywood. He's sticking with Boyhood. I didn't get a quote from him as to why, but I have a sense that he's just being loyal to it.
There you go. Down to the sea and ships.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on, especially among the journalists who have been behind this from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They've given it that movie all of their awards.
Yeah.
On the film critic side, like the more print based organizations, but also Critics' Choice,
right.
And I think they're just not going to let go, even though not all the tea leaves, but quite a few of the tea leaves are saying. Birdman, but that said, Birdman doesn't have the warm, fuzzy thing that you normally need to win. So that's why I think Boyhood really is still in this race. We can't discount it. I think there's momentum clearly shifting to Birdman, but I don't necessarily trust that.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing, apart from the Birdman Boyhood thing, is I was sort of looking at my own predictions, which I'm sorry for not updating, but I will update right away, Tom, today.
Good thing. Date, Jeff, the more because we're at a 13-13 tie now, it'll swing back to Birdman.
Right.
You're getting past the deciding
right.
vote.
Right. Is that I was looking at various categories, like, I mean, adapted screenplay is what most of the Derbyites are saying is going to go to Imitation Game. I'm more of a fan of Damien Chazelle's adapted screenplay, even though it's not adapted, but I'm more of a fan. But when you look at, say, original screenplay, which is probably going to, I'm thinking, go to Grand Budapest Hotel, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also, I mean, I'm thinking that Grand Budapest is going to come out pretty well. It's going to do pretty well on costume design, maybe, and, you know, makeup and hairstyling, and screenplay, and what else, possibly? Production design? General, so you know that's four right there. So I don't know.
I know, but we see a lot of that with, you know, Hugo or Gravity, pictures that don't win Best Picture, winning a lot of these crafts awards. But yeah, Budapest, we underestimated it from the beginning. It's been major contender all along,
right.
And we put it in our list. And then if you look back historically, which I encourage people to do when they're looking at our charts and
mm-hmm.
Gold Derbies, to use the little calendar mm-hmm. in the upper left-hand corner, and you can, you know. Scoot back to the dates, and you can see that Budapest was always, you know, in that 8th, 9th, 10th slot in our Best Picture rankings, and sometimes it would fall off and then get back on again. We had it in the running, but we didn't take it seriously enough.
Right. Hey, by the way, why do you believe, I mean, I'm a huge admirer, going way back to Telluride of 13, which is, 16 months ago, 17 months ago of Ida, which I did an interview, and I've seen it like three times, and I'm going to probably buy the Blu-ray because I'm an absolute devotee of the wonderful cinematography. But every time I've seen Wild Tales with a crowd,
mm-hmm.
it's always been this uproarious enjoyment.
It's brilliant.
They love it.
You know? It's absolutely effing brilliant. You know, Ida, I don't know where all this love of Ida comes from. First of all, I mean, spoiler alert here if you haven't seen it. The ending, you know, I'm an evangelical atheist. I'm not just an atheist. I want to convert the whole world. So at the end of that movie, what does she do? She goes back to the convent and embraces Jesus again.
Yeah.
Because after she's found out that her family were persecuted for being secret Jews. I mean, all this religious vindication stuff I just find repulsive in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just personally to me as somebody who is a byproduct of Catholic education and those horrible priests growing up.
Yeah, and she probably felt
this way in adulthood. But I don't see any great artistry in. I mean, it's beautiful style. The filming is stylized of Ida, etc. But mm-hmm. Wild Tales.
Yeah.
My God, that the opening segment is so riveting, but the finale, the wedding segment.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
Leaves you breathless and scarred for life.
Right. And there, I haven't talked to. I've seen it in Toronto, just for the fun of it, because there was a huge crowd at the Santa Barbara Film Festival. There was a screening at the Libero, packed every single seat, and people were again rollicking, clapping, laughing, having the greatest time. So you think, why not the most? But maybe people put on different glasses when they vote for Best Foreign. They want to do.
Well,
something.
They do. I did a stupid thing last night. I switched to Wild Tales for my prediction at the last minute. I may switch back to Ida or Leviathan, but I had the same. I was tossing with the same question that you are now, which is if there's so clearly a movie that gets such strong response as Wild Tales, it may not be a real awards contender because it's too much like Twilight Zone. They don't take horror or suspense, that those kinds of things seriously. Also, it's episodic with these various segments. It's not a continuous through line. And there's one thing you can count on at Show Business Awards, and that it they're snobs. They're absolute snobs. And that's why at the Emmys you have shows like Frasier and The West Wing winning everything, or Mad Men, all these stylized snobbish shows.
Yeah.
The Oscars, you see it in the little artsy art house movies winning, and that's the thing that you face as a prognosticator trying to figure out that category.
Right.
There's nothing snobbish about Wild Tales. It's just the best movie in the group by a mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can see those snobs in the Academy go, oh, that's not a real movie. That's, you know, that's a theme park ride.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it'd be one thing if it was just an episodic a film about this story and that story, but obviously it's tied together with a theme, which is predatory behavior and victims and resentment and rage. It's all part of what's going on in Argentina and, in a larger sense, a lot of countries today, particularly post 2008 financial meltdowns. So,
mm-hmm. You know. But we have to wonder, are Oscar voters really going to watch those five movies in that category? And if so, you know, I would like to think that they would vote for the best movie. But if they just watch one or two, Ida's won New York Film Critics and all these, you know, very, very uppity awards. And it just went BAFTA, I think.
Right.
So that looks like art to them, so that's probably where they'll go. But for now, I've switched over to Wild Tales.
Now, what do you think, just shifting over briefly, because I'm going to pick up my Spirit Award credentials in a little while today, what do you imagine will happen at the Spirit Awards on Saturday? Do you think that's going to tip towards Boyhood because it's more of an indie-type thing, or is it more of a Birdman? What do you...
I was wrestling with that, with trying to make my predictions this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Boyhood is the little indie kind of movie that appeals to the sensibility of the member of that organization, which they want to make a little movie and have it make a big splash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they often, though, love to predict the Oscars, and if it's a Birdman Oscars, that's where they'll go. So I don't know. What's your view?
I see... I sense that... that there's a loyalty and a kind of a simpatico thing going on with Birdman more than Boyhood, strangely. I think they're going to somehow... how many people decide the Spirit Awards? Not very many, right? Just as a committee,
true.
Right? So I think that they're probably going to, you know, diplomatically split it up to some extent. I think that maybe... I don't know how late in the game they do vote, whether they've just voted yesterday or 2 weeks ago or whatever, but I... I sense that they're probably going to want to give the best actor to Michael Keaton, because they probably sense, as most of us are doing, that it's not, he's not going to get it with the Oscar, that's going to be Eddie Redmayne, right?
Oh, I see.
Do you believe that? That it's Redmayne?
Maybe. I think Eddie wins the Oscar, yeah, but that's interesting. Maybe so.
Just so that, you know, they can sense where things are going, and they, you know, I don't know. So, is there anything stunning that might happen this week? Is there anything that where there's a real toss-up in any category that you think is you know? I only see toss-ups in you know, picture and director. I don't see anything else as
an actor. I mean, if you say Birdman wins Best Picture, yeah. Best Picture usually takes an acting award. We saw it last year with Lupita Nyong'o winning, you know, with Javier Bardem and Hilary Swank and Russell Crowe, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So that if they're going to use sweep voting, the Oscars, voters sitting there at home checking off all of the Birdman slots on their ticket, then Keaton goes along for the ride. So
okay.
That's why I think we can't discount that.
Okay.
I still think Eddie wins because he gives the biggest performance, the most obvious transformative performance physically, and portrays a real-life person and a real-life famous person, and the person has a handicap and all those things.
Plus, he has worked the circuit, Tom, as you know, very,
yes,
very expertly and tirelessly. He's
yes.
been a very good politician on behalf of himself and the theory of everything.
Yes, I know. He's done a wonderful job of that, remaining at all times very self-effacing and very,
yeah.
very grateful for everything
yeah.
he wins. And these Oscar voters, it's a small group, Jeff, as we know, only 6,000 people.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of votes to win.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be a good politician. And the Keaton's out there now pumping hands and slapping backs, but it's a catch-up game for him.
Mm. A certain party, Tom, I just want to, I won't say who it is, but he was telling me maybe it was a month and a half ago, maybe, possibly late December, mid-December. He was saying basically this, maybe you have heard it yourself, that there is a sense that Michael Keaton could have played more along with the narrative that people in the press felt that was had a little bounce to it, which is that there is a lot of his own life, obviously, in alluding to Batman and Birdman and everything, but also his having kind of been out in the woods a bit and trying to come back in and trying to get something going. And, you know, there's a little bit of, it's not just a incidental Michael Keaton echoes, it's a fair amount of Michael Keaton echoes. And he didn't really play along with that in...
No, I agree. I think that's been a big mistake. He's fought it, actually. Every time somebody brings it up, he says, "No, this isn't my story. This is Alejandro's story." And Alejandro does say that this is, you know, that he had created this before putting Keaton, you know, casting Keaton in the role. But Keaton strenuously denies it and then says, "Oh no, after Batman, I went off to Wyoming with my family to raise my kids. It wasn't like I couldn't get a job. Mm. That was my decision." And he has so strenuously poo-pooed this whole backstory that I think it was foolish.
Mm.
Last year, Matthew McConaughey won Best Actor because he embraced his backstory, which was surfer dude to serious actor, that transformation. The backstory often wins. Peter Bart used to say that, the former editor of Variety. It's more important what's off the screen, the backstory, than what's on the screen, because the Oscar is all about bestowing hugs and who we love and who we don't. And if we want to welcome back an actor from the brink, as everybody wants to do, because we want to believe in happy Hollywood endings,
right,
especially if you work in the industry, then Keaton could have played that up beautifully for himself.
Sure.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
In fact, he disowned it.
Yeah, yeah. Statistically, from your many, many years of looking at this, at these races, has there ever been, has there ever been a situation like we have with Julianne Moore this year, which is to say a highly respected, nobody dismisses, and everybody admires her performance in Still Alice, but next to no one has seen it or talked about it with any kind.
Oh, it's not about the
movie.
They're never voting on the movie or the performance. They're voting on...
Yeah. But I respect what they're doing. I mean, there's no question she's a solid gold actress, and she's going to get an Oscar, and that's fine. That's totally cool. But you know, nobody's really talked about, and they barely released Still Alice. I mean, it's like they said, okay, we've got this kind of momentum headwind coming in, and they felt it from going back to Toronto.
Sure.
So let's just play up Julianne Moore, and you know, it's not a bad movie, but it's not a very interesting or exciting or intriguing movie. But let's just sell her, and they did. And they did a really good job of it, because no one's complaining. I'm not complaining, but I didn't really like
it. It's good. You don't look at that movie and go, this is Oscar.
Yeah.
This deserves to live in the pantheon of the greatest films ever made.
Yeah.
It's not that, but it's certainly a very well-done performance and a solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is nobody emerged to compete against her. Jeff, that's what it is.
Yeah.
There was no sexy alternative, no ingenue like Jennifer Lawrence emerging this year.
Mm-hmm.
It looked almost as if Rosamund Pike could do it. She has that electric screen presence, etc., but she played a villainous character, so I don't think people were rooting for her. I think there was the potential for a sexy new ingenue, kind of like a Charlize Theron or a Halle Berry, coming on strong this year to challenge more, but since it never happened, she's been able to just walk the whole race.